So it's the last day, the last session of the Feast of 3 Days. Amen. And it's been such a blessing, right?
Yes, sir.
And we are yet here tonight for more.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now, I want to point our attention to something as we conclude this meeting. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
By the way, let's appreciate all the pastors present here. Amen. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah. Can I have your seat? Thank you so much. I mean, it's always a good thing to behold when pastors, leaders of churches, leave their assignment. I don't mean they abandoned it, right? But leave their work. Pastoral work is daily. So come join us here, sit with us. I think we have a few other pastors who've been here but had to go. And I just want to thank you for coming. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So we have looked at the resurrection. We've also emphatically seen that Jesus is God. Amen? We looked at John 5 to see that when Jesus said Moses wrote of him, he wasn't saying that Moses wrote of him in his humanity. Rather, he was saying that the God that Moses wrote about, I am the one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then, in becoming a man, he began to fulfill scriptures, which we can call God's plan, that he has spoken through the prophets through the ages. And we must have such understanding. It must be rich. That Jesus, whom I believe in, for the forgiveness of my sins, amen, he is God. Is the Lord of the Old Testament, is the Lord God of the Old Testament, is the Yahweh, is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. He descended into humanity to die, be buried, and be raised from the dead for mankind. Now, it's important to then pay attention to the things he said when he rose from the dead. Amen? Because those things will be very important and critical to the church age. Amen? Important. Imagine that you got admitted, most of us, if not all of us, that should be all of us, or maybe most, by the sound of my voice, you, at the time, got admission into secondary school, right? And then graduated, you know, maybe you did SS2 or maybe you checked out at SS2 or SS3 or whatever kind of grading you had in your secondary school. Now, when you come in at first level, there's elementary math that you get to learn and various other subjects. You know, in the junior secondary, you have integrated science, right? By the time you get to the senior secondary, you begin to learn physics, okay? Chemistry. and a host of other things. Learn elementary math, algebra, and all of that, and then begin to progress. You get to senior secondary, you have the option of doing or adding further math to it, all right? Now, by the time you're about to write WAEC, and then the teacher begins to tell you that these are the things you pay attention to, and then you now begin to remind him of what you did in GSS 1. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, in math, for instance, there's a time, maybe that's primary anyway, where 1 minus 2 cannot work. Right? How do you take 2 away from 1? That's an impossibility, right? Then there's another time it can work. Okay? There's an answer. What am I saying in essence? That when Jesus rose from the dead, the things that he began to say, I'm not trying to say that before he rose from the dead, there are some things that we should throw away. That's not my point. I was only driving at the fact that when you begin to learn something and then you advance in that learning, okay, some things begin to get very important and critical. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he paid attention to certain things. You know, there are some things we learn in school, they are just what we should learn on the way to where we are going. Amen? You have some courses, a whole course. You are just learning that for a fraction of another course. Amen? So when Jesus rose from the dead, there are certain things he said. There are things that he pointed the attention of his disciples to. And therefore, we must be wise enough to pay attention to those things. Amen? We read Matthew 16 and saw how Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He went further to say in verse 19, that's 18, 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose is loosed. So I will build my church. We've gone into all of that. I just want to give us a brief exhortation just to see certain things that Jesus said. So the book of Acts, of course, was written by Luke, and he wrote to Theophilus, and that's how he opened the book. The former treatise of I made Theophilus of all that Jesus began both to do and teach on the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or his suffering, by many infallible proofs, undeniable proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God will refer to the name of Jesus. God's authority has been bequeathed to Jesus. You remember that? He now sits at the right hand of God. All authority has been bequeathed to Jesus. And so therefore, the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus are one and the same. God's authority, God's rule and reign. Jesus rose from the dead and sat at the right hand of God. Does that make sense? So the name that he obtained, you can call it the kingdom of God. Amen? The rule and reign of God in the earth. So that's what Jesus taught them 40 days. He says, and being assembled together, verse 4, with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said ye heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Don't forget, is just briefing. So we should be able to tell that what Jesus said in verse 4 and 5, you will find exhaustively in verse 3, that is in the reality of verse 3, right? When he taught them for 40 days. Are you there? So you'll find more information if you were in those meetings. Huh? Are you there? Or you have the tapes? I would like to have them. So he says, wait for the promise of the Father which said, ye heard of me. For John 3 baptized with water, but ye are baptized with the Holy Ghost on many days ends. In Luke 24:49, same author, to same audience, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Right? So he says, wait for the promise of the Father. Of course, the promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. Galatians 3 and 14. That the promise of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham, rather. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the Spirit himself is the promise. Not the promise that the Spirit gave. No, the promise of the Spirit. The Spirit is the promise. John 14 and 16. And I will pray the Father that I will give you another comforter that will abide with you forever. John 14, 26. He says, the Comforter will come. He says, he will guide you into all truth. John 15, 26. The same thing. John 16, from verse 7 to 15. That the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, will come. The promise of the Spirit is the Father's intent for mankind. So like we quoted earlier, Paul says in Galatians 3:14 that the promise of God is the Spirit. The Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36, from verse 23, if you read down to 28, the promise or the prophecy by the prophet Ezekiel is to receive the Spirit. It says, I will give you a new heart. A new spirit will I put within you. So God's desire is for men to have his Spirit. And Jesus, upon resurrection, pointed the attention of his disciples to that. That now that I am raised from the dead, I have shown you through scriptures, see, there is what the Father wants to do. Praise the Lord. So he rose from the dead, yes, and the resurrection is the greatest event that has ever happened in the earth. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll come back to the book of Acts shortly. In Ephesians chapter 1, see what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 1, where he prayed for the saints at Ephesus in his letter that he wrote to them He asked that the Father of glory will give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge of him, the eyes of the understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Then he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe? So when we believed, power worked towards us. Don't forget in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. In other words, the gospel is God's power to save. So when the gospel is preached, power is made available to raise the sinner from the dead. I think it's Reverend McCankins, I'm not sure now, who would say that the same power in the events of the gospel is present when it is preached. Hallelujah. The gospel is the power of God to save. If a man is to be saved, just preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you make power available to raise him from the dead. Glory to God. Are you following this? Okay. So he says you need to know the power that worked towards you when you believed. You need to come into fellowship, an acquaintance, communion. You need to have revelation and experience of the power that worked towards you. Remember we talked about Luke 24:49 earlier today? The word that was used, endued, enduo, an old verb that means to put on a garment. And that has to do with your consciousness and the consciousness of others. That is, you will be conscious, so conscious of power, amen, that those who meet you will also be conscious of power. Hallelujah. Conscious of the power of God. So, it says you need to know that power that worked towards you. Then he says, according to the working of his mighty power. I may not have all the time to explain all those words. He says, this power, he worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is same power that walks towards you. And that power is the gospel. Or if you want to hear it this way, that power is in the gospel. So there's need for revelation and there's need for experience, acquaintance with that mighty working power. He says, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So the same power that raised him made him to sit at God's right hand. And you know what that is? To sit in God's throne, or to sit where God rules and reigns. He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. So he lets you see the extent of Christ's victory or Christ's authority. It says, every name that is named, every authority, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Christ not only has authority now, he has authority eternally. I mean, that's why it was funny for those guys in 1 Corinthians 15 to begin to think that there's no resurrection of the dead. No. He is Lord of all. Hallelujah. He rules and reigns where God rules and reigns from. God has given him authority. He does what the Father wants to do. So, having described all of that, like I said, I may not be able to spend time with each of those words, but the crux of it is this. When somebody does so well to fulfill a task so that it can be failure-proof, that's what it means. Amen? Imagine someone says, I want to travel to somewhere, you know, far, maybe up north. I want to go to Kano. And then I don't have the funds to go there. And there's something important. And the person says, okay, I will help you. And then in your head, you were thinking it was going to be transportation money. And when are you traveling so day? He first of all sends money. You thought that was transportation. Then he sends two vehicles. One of the vehicles was filled with policemen, armed to the teeth. Right? Then he sends the other one, luxurious vehicle, to move. Then you were thinking that, okay, you were going to make the journey by road. Then they pick you up, take you to the airport. Okay? Then you were thinking that, okay, you just join everybody to go there. Then they take you to a chartered plane. Then you fly, you get there. Then another set of luxurious vehicles are waiting for you. I mean, he now does everything so well. I hope my example was good enough. Or you want more? So well that you not only arrive there to partake of whatever, you would arrive safely, you will feel comfortable, amen, and the money even sent you, you will not touch it. I say, you did so well. You get the point? So, he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in every places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. He now did all of that. I say, church, take. To the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says you need to know it. So by revelation, from studying God's word, meditation, your eyes become open to the extent to which God walked when he raised Jesus from the dead for your sake. Hallelujah. So don't forget what Paul said is necessary. Revelation. You need to know. It's a fact that it has happened. You have believed the gospel. Mighty power walked towards you and raised you from the dead. But there is a need to know. Because in that revelation, in that knowing, you now begin to fellowship real time or experience that great and mighty power. It now becomes your experience. You would see that mighty power now work tangibly in your life, in your ministry, in your body. Amen? So back to Acts 1. So Jesus said that, wait for the promise of the Father. We're at Luke 24:49. That's why we went to Ephesians 1, which will help us in a short while. For John truly baptized with water, But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I mean, verse 5 alone will end many arguments. All right? It's important to know that John was appointed to bear witness of Jesus. And he was told to baptize in water because of the sign. So it was not only Jesus he baptized many other people. But as he baptized every other person, there will come a time that when he's baptizing one person, like every other person, something different will happen. The Holy Ghost will descend on him and remain on him. Amen? So that was an assignment for John to identify the Christ or the Lamb of God, or to show the Lamb of God to Israel. Amen? Now, the Lamb of God himself upon resurrection will now baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen?
With the Holy Ghost. So it is for John to baptize with water. It is for Jesus to baptize with the Holy Ghost. In John 3:6, when he said, is it 6 or 5 now? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He wasn't saying be born of water first, then born of the Spirit, be baptized first, then you now receive the Holy Ghost. No, no, no. Come off it. Right? In the next verse, verse 6, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The attention was not on water. Again, you transport yourself into their culture, their language, what they understood. Nicodemus got what he was saying. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a ruler. Nicodemus himself didn't pay attention to the water. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? So to be born of water is to be born of the Spirit. Well, let's move off that. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, verse 6, Acts 1, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Look at what Jesus said. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It is not for you to know the time and the season which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Of course, you should understand the question that they asked him, because they had waited long for it. Imagine God says, you are my people, you will rule. Or how do I say it now? You would increase, you multiply, you fill the earth, you will this, you will that. And they've experienced the patriarchs, how they began to take on territories and just gain more grounds. You know, David gained more grounds, and what's his name? Solomon came in and gained more grounds, and here they were under the rule of the Roman Empire. And they look forward to that. That this is God's promise to us from the scriptures, but our experience was different. They say, okay, would you at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? But Jesus put their attention on the Holy Ghost, put their attention on the power of the Holy Ghost. So, if they could ask him something that was that important, I mean, many of us today don't understand the import of the question they asked. Because we just feel, you know, why are you asking that kind of question? Are you not spiritual? And all of that. If God promised you, Nigerians, amen? Are we all Nigerians? promised you and said that this is what the nation will be. And this and that, you become the world power. You know, you this, you that, you this, you that. And I will send you a president, in quotes, a messiah, who will do this, who will do that. And then, you know, someone now comes, does everything and say, I am the one that God promised. Oh, yeah. Will you at this time make $1 equal to 50 kobo? Because that's important to us. Hey, are you there? Oh, you're forming spiritual now. Will the fuel price drop? Will bread turn to 100 naira? Amen?
Amen?
Will accommodation be back to 50k? Amen?
Amen?
Are we going to buy new cars again for 16,000 naira? 2.5 brand new tear leather. Will you do that? Say, come off it. You shall receive power. You see now. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it was important to them. That question was important to them, but it pointed their attention to a spiritual reality. It pointed their attention to God's plan. Say, but ye shall receive power. And of course, the word receive is the word lambano. A word that is active, that you take a hold of it. Luke 24:49 says, wait until you put on power like a garment. Wait until that time. So it means that upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we must put our attention on what Jesus says to put our attention on. Ye shall receive power. You know, the devil fights some battles skillfully to get the minds of certain saints off the move of the Holy Ghost. Of the working of God's mighty power in the earth. Jesus rose from the dead and said, this is your business. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you know, you can read it one way, that once you believe, the Holy Ghost comes. Once the Holy Ghost comes, you have power already. Great. But what Jesus said there isn't just a fact of redemption. Yes, you have power. You know, some other versions will read it like this, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's a fact. If you receive the Holy Ghost, his power is not separate or somewhere. Yes, you have power, but the point is your responsibility here. You have to get a hold of it. It's not that you don't have it. You need to put it on like a garment. You need to be conscious that you have power. It becomes what you are known for. Amen? Imagine that I just decide that from today, all captains, all clothes that I will wear will be white. You know, I have a name. That pastor that wears white. Or I just decide that it's red I want. Say, ah. Don't worry, I'm not guru. But I just say, okay, black. Okay, you like that one? Yellow. What of lemon and orange? They'll say, turn up, pastor. Christmas light, pastor. So once I constantly do that, I become known for it. That's what he wears. You don't know that, pastor? That's what he wears. He wears orange shirt, lemon trouser, I'm looking for another color for the shoes. You know, that's him. So he becomes known for it because that's what he shows up with. Amen? Amen. So Jesus is saying, wait till your consciousness and what people encounter when they meet you is the power of God. Hallelujah. Any small thing, whether at home or the office, can we pray about it? Let's channel the power of God to that thing. Is everything power of God? Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. He says, that's your business. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And see what he says next. And ye shall be witnesses. Witnesses. If this is what Jesus said after he rose from the dead, that ought to be our priority as his church. Amen. As his church. At times we may not like statements like this, but it's somewhat a fact. The devil is okay with you if you can explain the scriptures, but no demonstration of power. Not because there's a problem with explaining scriptures, but there's a goal to it. That explanation should lead to an experience. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not trying to make us believers who become so gullible. Amen. Who become so gullible. Well, you see a miracle, someone gets off a wheelchair and begins to walk, and then in the same meeting, someone says some very funny stuff and you say, didn't you see a layman walk there? God is behind that thing and what he said. Okay, God is behind the miracle. Hallelujah. What we say requires our diligence. Amen. Requires our diligence. Praise the Lord. Let me just get off this because we need to do one last thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So you will receive power. You shall be witnesses. You will receive power. You shall be witnesses. See, don't be that believer who just wants to be around the Word of God, be around, just enjoy the flow of the Spirit in meetings, but does not want to work with it. Does not want to reach the lost. Wants the whole earth to be on standstill before there's time to go on evangelism. Jesus said that should be your business. So upon the resurrection, Jesus put our attention on what matters. Amen. He put our attention on what matters. You will get a hold of power. You will be my witnesses. So you get a hold of power, then you will be my witnesses. Okay? In being a witness, you say what you have seen. Hallelujah. You speak about what you have experienced. Praise the Lord. So you fellowship with the scriptures. You diligently study God's word. You come to know what God wants to share with the whole world. What he wants done. He wants the move of the Holy Ghost. We contend for it. He wants churches to multiply. He wants sinners to be saved. He wants the sick healed. He wants men to know him. to know him. Hallelujah. So, if we are going to apply the knowledge of the resurrection correctly, it won't be just to be excited about what it has brought us, but to now, with gratitude, be responsible in God's plan. Hallelujah. To then be responsible in God's plan. To be responsible in the plan and the purpose of God. So you and I must become more diligent that our commitment to Jesus is for a purpose. I'll strive to pray, even though the day has been hectic. I'll strive to read the word of God, even though I'm on a journey. I'll strive to just fellowship with God's word, even though I am at work. I look at my lunch time, like, okay, let me use 30 minutes to do this. Let me use 30 minutes to quickly find something to eat. Every day, I'm serious about the things of God. Hallelujah. The joy of salvation brings a man to the place of responsibility, of service, of worship to God, of living a holy life, of letting the fear of God guard your heart. Hallelujah. The resurrection is for God's plan to be possible in the earth. And so you and I must give ourselves to it. Give ourselves to God's plan, his purpose, his will. Commit ourselves strongly to the local church. Do as he has said we should. Obey those that have the rule over you and submit. Support our spiritual leaders. Support them with honor, with faith, with resources, with faith-filled words, with obedience. Live our lives as men who are on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. Are willing to make sacrifices. Because the knowledge of Jesus' sacrifice is always in our hearts every day. Hallelujah. So you and I will not be selfish. We will not pursue our plans more than we pursue his. Rather, we'll submit our lives more to him. John said in 1 John 3 and 16, he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for him. Hallelujah. Amen. So for instance, we've had time and time again to flow with the Spirit, to get the gifts of God to work. And I believe that we've seen more flow of the Spirit in our personal lives in this meeting. We've had encounters with, of, and by the Holy Ghost. We've been blessed, and we've had the privilege to bless others. We must continue in this. Amen. The reason he gave us endowments is so that we can become useful in his plan. The reason he rose from the dead is because he wants to build a temple in all the earth. And the reason he lives in you is so that you can become a channel of blessing. You can become a conduit of power. You can become a vessel for his gospel, for his power, for his move on the earth, a vessel to reach more people. To reach more people. Now I trust, Lord, that as we close tonight, passion will fall on our hearts. Amen? Amen.
flowing with the Holy Ghost will not be a thing of the past. Not at all. Rather, we will go and light up more places. We'll spread the fire. Amen? We'll be an asset in our churches. In the name of Jesus. Our sales will increase and multiply. In the name of Jesus. That there will be stirrings upon stirrings. Every day. Every day. That you will not be tired. You will not get to the point where, you know, I think I've done this thing for 1 week. It's okay. Let me relax for 2 weeks. That will not be your story. Yes. Because the resurrection power is working in you. Hallelujah. 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 The resurrection power is working in you. I'll close by saying this. That God planned the resurrection since the beginning, from the foundation of the world, and it came to pass as he planned it. Do you know the other thing he planned? He planned that you walk in his plan. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I was created for good works. God planned that I be consistent in his plan and his will. Hallelujah. He planned that I walk in power. He planned that I flow with the Holy Ghost. He planned that the gifts of the Spirit work in my life. He planned that I have visions regularly. He planned that I have psalms every day. He planned it. He planned that I'm useful, that I'm an asset to his church. That's what he planned. He planned the resurrection, and it came to pass as it did. What he has planned in my life will come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will pay attention more. I will commit myself to it. I will yield all that I am. Hallelujah. I'll yield to it. I'll yield to it. I'll yield to it. I'll yield to it. I'd like you to just pray.